Thank you, man. I trust that you're submitting to the leading of our Lord. It's been good having Josiah here with us. I understand you're leaving today, right? And he's got to be back at school tomorrow. So it's been good having him with us, and we're going to miss him. So we want to pray for him as he travels. Also, Scott Lanham could leave because he's on his way to He's got to be to California by tomorrow morning, so we might remember them as they travel as well. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It was good to see all of you could get here today. You could have just ridden your bicycles, you know. Some of you would have got here at the same time if you'd have ridden your bicycles. So those of you who are got caught up in the bicycle traffic this morning. So, Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Great Faith Chapter. It presents to us a great cloud of witnesses, as it's spoken of in the 12th chapter in the first verse, that have gone before us in life, whose lives can give us an example of true Christian faith. In the previous chapter, I went to turn on my mic and I lost my place here. We looked at a characteristic of true faith. And we saw that true faith is that which does not apostatize by drawing back, but is a faith that endures. That was an important passage of Scripture for us, and to recognize that men throughout their lives have gone through trials, and yet a true faith is a faith that is a faith that endures. Here we're going to go back a little more in depth to look at faith, as it's revealed in these first verses of chapter 11. A common way that the term faith is used in our culture is not a very comforting way that it's used. We're asked to have faith in something of which we have no basis to put our faith in it. We don't have our basis to put our faith to place it where it is asked. When somebody tells me, trust me, I get worried. They seem to use that word, trust me, when they don't have a reason for there. Just trust me. It's kind of like seems like used car salesmen are good at that. You know, trust me. That's a good car. It'll be just right for you. You know, you don't know whether it's one you can really trust or not. I heard a story of a church member that came across the notes of a preacher that was left on the pulpit. I got to try to pick up my notes and get them out of here. But he saw the notes of the preacher on the pulpit, and he looked at this one point, and it said, point is weak here. Shout. You know, that's a... you know, it's like if I shout it, that'll make it more real. Well, that's not the kind of faith that we see in this passage of Scripture. We're asked to have a faith in the Lord that has a very sound basis, and that is what I believe we will see as we look at this passage of Scripture. That first verse, now faith. What is faith? I remember in my own Christian experience needing to really come to grips with my faith. I was away at college, 1,000 miles from home, and didn't have the money to. In those days, we didn't have cell phones. It was, you had to have quarters to put in the phone at the school, and I didn't have quarters to put in there, so I was pretty much left to my own. But it was a good time. It was a good time away from everything, and to really evaluate what is faith? What does it mean? And just evaluating my belief and is it genuine? Is it what is this really? The word that is translated faith here is a word that means there's a persuasion. There's a conviction. It's a word of a reliance upon. An assurance, and it is a that there is a real relying belief. Thus, I can say, I believe. I am persuaded. I rely upon. I fully believe. I have faith in. Faith is not just some nebulous thing that's kind of out there that we really can't get a hold of. When I look in Acts 16:31, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That word "believe" that is there is really comes from the same root word in the Greek of our word for faith. It is not just, you know, and that's what we have something that we call today easy believism. It's something that just say these words, you know, do you believe that this thing is true? And if you just have a mental assent, then you're saved. And that's the thing that I struggled with as I sought to examine my own self as a young person. And as I examined the faith, and I examined the words for the word for believe, and I recognized, you know, yes, I do have faith. I have put my reliance and my trust and my confidence in Jesus Christ. And so there was a recognition that faith is something that, as I examined it and I recognized that I had from a youth. I have also known those, even those of my own children who claimed a faith from their youth, but that recognized, I have never really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with a relying, trusting, confident faith where I turn from myself and turn to Jesus Christ. It's more than just an acceptance of fact. It's a heart of belief that relies upon those facts. What must it mean when someone is told to accept Jesus into your heart? I've actually read tracts that some have written against that is a wrong thing to say. Not because it's really wrong if you understand it, but because I asked Jesus to come into my heart, but not recognizing what does that mean? What does it mean I understood what it means when I trusted the Lord. It had been explained to me. I am relying upon the Lord. I am asking Him to take control over me. I am giving myself over to Him. I am turning from myself and my sin and relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is important that to some don't understand that. It's a foreign concept. It's got to be communicated. What does it mean to accept Jesus into your heart? It means to put your faith and your trust, your reliance wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to give yourself over to Him. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. To examine that word substance, the word substance is it's a word for that's translated confidence. It's a word I think I just found it just a few times here in the New Testament, but it's a word that has something that is real. Faith is the substance of it. It's something that is that there's a foundation for. It's something where there is an actual existence. It's interesting that same word is translated in one place in the Scripture, person. When you When we started in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of Christ, it says, who is the brightness of his glory, this express image of his person. That's interesting. He is real. And Christ was the image of that, of our real Creator God. There's that foundation. So when it says that faith is the substance, there is that firm assurance of a foundation upon which it is based. Sometimes we can believe in things and rely upon things and have confidence in things that we don't have the basis really to have confidence in. Some of you thought you would be here to church on time this morning because I can get there. I will get there in this amount of time. And then you found out you were behind a bunch of bicycles and you were not going to go any faster. And you were going to wait. Because you didn't, there was that was unknown to you. You didn't, you know, you thought you had the foundation for thinking that you would be here, but it didn't happen. Well, this, when he says faith is the substance, it's that idea that there is that foundation that is behind it. It's interesting in some of the ancient Greek, in the papyri, it was a word that was translated for one that was given a title deed to a piece of property. I have been given a title deed for my house and my property. Well, actually, at the moment, the bank is holding that, but it gives me confidence that no one else can claim it. As long as the bank doesn't have some interest in it, it's mine. It's my deed. It's my guarantee. You have the if your car's paid for, you got the title for your car. No one has any claim to it. If you're holding the title for it, and so that is. Thus, I have a foundation for my faith. I have a foundation for my faith. What is that foundation? What foundation? Faith is the substance. What is that? What is that substance? What is that foundation? You know, this phrase we've looked at, the just shall live by faith, you know, it is found back in the book of Habakkuk. Back, if you could find that among the minor prophets, you've got to. In fact, in case I wasn't able to get there just really quick, I wrote it out in my notes. You know, sometimes you get those little minor prophets, you can skip by them because they're only a very few pages long. Like here we've got Habakkuk that's only three chapters. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, let me read the first four verses of that chapter. You can follow along if you've turned there, if you've found it. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon a tower, and will watch and see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Did you notice what he's saying there? He's saying the Lord said, here, I want you to write this down. I want it written plainly. read it, and then they can act on it. And verse 3 mentions that it is sure. He says they're going to have to wait. You know, and of course we looked at that same concept. We just looked at that in the previous chapter about the coming of the Lord. He that tarries will not tarry, but he will come. And here he says, in this that is written, though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. What the Lord gives, his word is going to be true. It is going to happen. Though it might not happen like when you think it ought to be, and you've got to tarry and you've got to wait for it. And then he says, the just shall live by faith. What's the foundation of that faith? It is the written word of God. The foundation of our faith is the written word of God. God has revealed himself to us. We have it. Thank the Lord. Not just what somebody can read to us, but thank the Lord that we've got it here in our language.
Hallelujah.
You can open your Bible in your language. You know, we've had some people through the centuries weren't able to do that. They weren't able to have a copy in their homes. They weren't able to have it in their own language. What a blessing it is that we've got this. And of all peoples, we ought to be a people that walk by faith. Because we have the foundation of God's word. We've got it in our possession to read, to study, to understand. You know, this isn't some mysterious book that we always have to, you know, there are those that only approach the Bible to find some hidden meaning. They approach the Bible to find something that somehow between the lines, I should be able to find this mystery and these hidden meanings. And we find those that are doing such things today and come up with hidden codes and all kinds of things that are supposedly there. You know, I think Habakkuk, and these verses in Habakkuk show us, I believe, the way God has intended for his word to be. When he says there, that you write this and you make it plain so that when one reads it, he can act on it. That's what's in our scriptures. That doesn't mean that there are not some things that God hasn't fully revealed to us. We have things in prophecy that we know are true, but we don't know exactly how they're going to play out because he hasn't revealed all that to us. Throughout the scriptures, there have been things where there's a progressive revelation in the scriptures. There are things that are just given to us in seed form in the early part of the scriptures, even as we're talking about Christ and the revelation of Christ. And then those things are unfolded as we go along. And what a blessing it's going to be when we see our Lord face to face. But he's given us everything that we need for the foundation of our faith. He's given us everything that we need for the foundation of our faith. I don't need to go to someone to find some further revelation that's been given beyond what God has given us. In fact, he warns us against that. And those that think and try to tell us that God has revealed something to them beyond the scriptures, they're ones when they say, trust me, don't trust them, because it is not based upon the foundation that God has given us for our faith, and that is his very word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. As again, this is not, I hope. This is not, it is based upon that foundation of God's word. And it is, and they are those things, this is a word that is translated that I expect. It is something that is expected. Not just a nebulous hope, but a hope that is substantiated by the word of God. So there are those things that as this says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is that which I expect is going to be. I expect it based upon the very word of God. Thus I am confidently expecting the promises given for my faith. Why? Because they are based upon the foundation of God, His Word, and a God that cannot lie. What a blessing it is that my faith is the substance of things hoped for. How about yours? The next phrase that we have here. It is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. The word evidence there is a word for by which a thing is proved or tested. It is an evidence. Evidence in the sense that it is tested, it is proved, and it's not by things. And the emphasis here is, you're not going to be able to test it with your eye. You're not going to be able to perceive it with your senses. You're not going to be able to take the scientific method and put it to it. And be able to find out that it is so. It's interesting. Remember Thomas? Thomas who said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless I can put my finger in that nail print, unless I can put my hand in that side. Oh, remember when Thomas, when he saw the Lord, he was chagrined that he had doubted. He says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thomas, at that point, was walking by sight, and his sight didn't get him there. The Lord Jesus said, do you remember what he said? Thomas, because you saw me, you believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and believed. The Lord has not given to us that we should meet the Lord physically face to face. He has, and He gives us opportunity of that fellowship and meeting with Him. You might met some of those that would say, well, if the Lord appears to me personally, and I can see Him. No. The Lord says we come by faith. A faith that is based upon the Word. A faith that has a foundation. A faith but a faith that is not based upon sight. We're not to walk by sight. It's not in our senses, but what is our faith in? Our faith is in God Himself. Our faith is in God Himself. Our confidence is in our God. We get in trouble when we only go by sight. Verse 2 says this, and as we go to that, we look at the practice of our faith. look at the practice of our faith. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Men, our forefathers that have gone before us, those that have gone before us, it says they walked by faith. They've walked by faith. They've lived in a trusting confidence in God and His Word. They lived by it even though there was nothing visible for them to see. And that's what, when we look at all the examples and the things that are going to follow here in this chapter, it is those that have gone before us. Those that lived by faith in what God had said and in God's promises and in God's Word, though there was nothing for them to visibly see and understand. This chapter is filled with those examples. So yes, the elders, those who went before, our forefathers in the faith, they obtained a good report, and a number are mentioned here, and it's even mentioned that there are so many myriads of ones that are not mentioned here, but are just alluded to. They walked by faith. They obtained a good report, and we see in the sixth verse about how that is rewarded for them. But then he goes on, not just speaking of those that walked by faith, but then he gives an example. He gives an example to us. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do we understand that we see around us? How do we understand that? All that we see and know has come and exists today by the Word of God. Everything that we see and know, it exists today by the Word of God. The very element of time and space. Where'd it come from? Light and darkness. Just very basic. How did it come to be? The host of the heavens, the stars and the moon and the galaxies and all that is there. What do we understand? How did they come about? Water, fire, vegetation. All of the beauty that is around us and the vastness of the world in which we live in its intricacies. It seems like men continue to see and find more and more. First of all, it was only those things that men could see with their eyes and wonder at, and how did it come about? And then men come up with telescopes and microscopes and wow, wait a minute, there's things that we, how did that ever come about? And there was the time when we're sure that the atom was the very smallest thing that that was, and then as they learn more, they find out it's the intricacies that go so much deeper than that. All the living creatures, where did it come from? How was it framed? What happened? Man himself. How did we get here? When it says here, the world eons, through faith we understand that it's really not the word for the earth, for the earth itself, but it's all of the ages, all of the time, and that's why I started with talking about time and space and such, because it says we understand that all of the eons of time were framed by the Word of God. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. Because of that, we can trust in Him for the future. These things were not made by anything visible. We will not find answers to those questions by observation. We'll not find our beginning by observation. No one was there to observe it. Think of Adam, the first man. Everything was already created. He was placed in the Garden of Eden. He was placed in that place that everything that was pleasant to the eye, all that was good for food, the whole of creation was there, and then Adam was placed there. Wow, look at this. How did this happen? Where did this come from? The substances of creation did not exist before. We create things. We create things in the sense that we take materials and we say we created, but we didn't do things out of nothing like God did. We take things that God has given us and we put them together and we make things and we think, boy, we're really smart, you know, we really... You know, it's amazing the technology and the things that we have and the machines and the electronics and all the kind of stuff that we have. But where did that stuff come from? We have no idea. Men try to find out, but we will only have theories. We can only have theories of the origins of what we see without the revelation of the Creator that tells us what took place. I always get a little chuckle when I read, we have got a bigger telescope than we've ever had before, and we are going to finally find out where we came from and how we came about. And I just laugh. How foolish. All we're going to see is just a little further out of the vastness of what God has done. We will never see. We will never be able to come up with, by observation, where we came from. And that's what this verse is saying. That's what this verse is saying. It is letting us know that it is only through faith, through that foundation of God and His Word, that we can understand that the worlds were framed, the eons, all that we have was framed, it was put together by the Word of God. So that things that are seen, they are not made by the things which do appear. So, and as we've said before, the end of that verse lets us know they are never going to find where things come from because it's not observable. They are things that came about by the Word of God. God spoke, and He brought them into being. And so until we understand that, we are always going to be going on theories that man has come up with. Our whole culture is enthralled with evolution. And so sure of this evolutionary process that has brought things about, though there are so many gaps that they cannot explain, but they just assume that their theories are true. And so what happens? They believe a false theory. And they base their hopes on that which is false. And consequently, we live in a world today when men You know, it's interesting with when we see the things going on around us. We see some of the natural disasters that have taken place around us that in years past would have men would have cried out to God. But today they think, oh, something else just happened by chance. Men's eyes are blinded because they have not the foundation of the Word of God. And then when these things take place, instead of turning to the Lord, they just think, well, I guess I might just be thrown out into oblivion. No. I am to live by faith. A faith that has basis in the precious Word of God. A faith that has its basis in God Himself. God who has revealed Himself. And the wonder of the Scriptures. The wonders of the Word of God is if people want to observe something, if people want something to help the base of their faith, let them take God's Word. Let them take God's Word and examine it. And find out that, hey, these Scriptures that God gave, these things, you can go to prophecy, you can go to the unfolding of the Scriptures throughout and what God has proclaimed. And those that have tried to say, well, that couldn't have been written such and such because that wouldn't have been known there. And then the Lord gives us just enough where they find out, oh, there's some of that that was way back then, you know, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and things like that that men find. Read on the archaeology news just in these last weeks that they think we've discovered that which looks like that was there was really a David and he really had those. It looks like we found a place where he was. Isn't that amazing? Wow, how could that be? You know, I mean, we knew it was so because God said it was so. I've often said when God's word is not a science book, but what it speaks of science will always prove itself to be true because God is the creator of it. It is not a history book of all of mankind, but what it speaks of history is going to be true. And we can depend upon that. And it continually shows itself and proves itself to be true. Where is your faith? Homer Kent, in his commentary on this book of Hebrews, said this of these verses. He said, faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has provided conviction about unseen realities. Oh, that was really good. Faith is the confident assurance which the believer has because God has provided conviction about unseen realities. I'm confidently expecting the promises given for my faith because they're based upon the foundation of God's word, which cannot lie. Are you confidently expecting the promises given for your faith because they're based upon the foundation of God's word, which cannot lie? Faith is not a reliance upon our senses, but it's a reliance upon God Himself. I have the examples of the forefathers of my faith. As they lived by faith, and God's given us those examples, we have this great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us. What is the lesson for us? We're to live by faith. We're to live by faith. May God help us to live by faith as we understand and our confidence is in Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, thank you for explaining to us this about faith. Lord, help us always, even in the midst of trials, whether it's in trials and in health problems or persecutions or being in the midst of those, Lord, that would ridicule our faith. Oh, Lord, though we cannot see with the eye, Lord, help us like those who have gone before us, Lord, to trust Thee with a confident faith because we believe You and Your Word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.